Intervju Radija Študent.
Lepo zdrav v intervjuju Radija Študent, v katerem danes gostimo švicarski trio Tetras, improvizatorsko zasedbo, ki jo tvorijo izkušeni glasbeniki in improvizatori Jason Kahn za bobni, Christian Weber na kontrabasu in Jeron Visser na električnih orglah in elektroniki. Tetra so v letošnjem letu zakuhali svoj prvenec, dvojno vinilno ploščo Pareidolia, ki smo jo recenzirali in vrteli tudi v ponedeljkovi tolpi bumov. V okrilju njene promocije se trio nahaja na krajši evropski turneji, ki jih bo nocoj ob 21. uri zvečer zanesla v malo dvorano Kina Šiška. Pred koncertom so nas Tetras obiskali v studiju, preden pa začnemo pogovor z njimi, pa prisluhnimo koščku njihove glasbe, ki jo boste v podobni maniri lahko slišali tudi na svoju Šiški. Gre za opojne na ritmu in pulzu bazirane improvizacije, ki se napajajo v dediščini kozmičnega roka, džeza, minimalizma in sodobnih ustalin post-roka. Pričakujte musko za vse fene Ken, Sun Raja, Nex, Steve Rajča, Tortis in še koga. Torej, v studiju smo s Tetras, pogovor pa bo potekal v angleščini. Hello, guys.
Hi.
My first question goes to Jason and Jerome. You have started the band as a duo and later on invited also Christian to form a trio. Jason, what exactly was there in Jerome's playing that led you into playing the full drum kit again after quite some years? And what led you afterwards to invite Christian in the band, and what change did that bring to the music of Tetras?
Well, actually, it didn't have so much to do with Jeroen's playing.
Mm-hmm.
It was more like I felt like I wanted to play more drum set in live situation, not just at home in my studio. So in Zurich, there's actually not that many people I want to play with, so mm-hmm. Jeroen was one of them.
Uh-huh.
And Christian, I've played with for many years now in different contexts. So for me, being in a band is not just about the other instruments. It's also about, it's like a social situation. It's I play with friends. I don't just play with instruments. So being in a band is not just about the music. It's also the whole thing, being together and working together. So
yeah. Christian, when you joined the duo, was the shape of the musical direction of Tetras already shaped? And if so, what kind of experience was it for you coming from the side of free improvised music and contemporary jazz into this music?
That's difficult to say exactly. I mean, when you come in, we played together, we had many rehearsals, and we just took our time, and I would like to pick it up where Jason left it. It's kind of the social thing, the social idea, and three people coming together, each one of us making a contribution, and then after a certain while, it suddenly started to take shape, and there was kind of a musical guideline, established itself more or less, and we started to follow it a little, but we're still rehearsing and quite thinking about the music, about what we play, and there's once in a while quite a bit of a change in how we approach mm-hmm. the music. So,
did you both miss this social element of forming a band compared to the settings in, let's say, the field of improvised music, where there is a lot of ad hoc meetings and etc.?
For me, yeah, my experience in that context is often there are bands in that context, but more often it's just projects which meet when there's work. So that has some good sides too, but it's something's missing for me. I like both, but it's mm-hmm. for different reasons. Yeah.
Your first record was released on Chicago label Flinker Sound System, a double vinyl release. Its title is Pareidolia, a word with special meaning. Could you tell us the meaning of the word and its relation to the music of Tetras?
Maybe Jeroen should say, because he thought of the title.
Okay, well, it's basically like the image you can make in your head mm-hmm. when you see something like a natural phenomenon, mm-hmm. like a cloud, mm-hmm. which takes a certain shape, and you... for you it has a meaning at that moment that you see the shape, so you start to make a context around it, and mm-hmm. that's basically how we how I got to the title. Like, I thought what we do could for people be a very well a sort of special moment where something comes together for them and where they can make their own image in their own head, mm-hmm. so we didn't want to really project a certain idea into that, but let people on themselves have the liberty of creating their own image.
Mm-hmm.
So,
as I mentioned, the record was released on vinyl, which was at least 10 years ago thought at all as sort of obsolete medium, but has now come back with a vengeance. You have stated that for the sound of the group and the way this music from the record should be presented, it is crucial to be released on this medium. Why is that?
It's kind of, we thought it suits the music very well, since we mostly play long pieces mm-hmm. and it's about a certain development, and for the we often play long sessions, long, 40 minutes, 50 minutes, something like that. And so we had to kind of always pick up an excerpt because of the vinyl time limit of about 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And so we thought it's also nice to present, since it's a double vinyl, we have four sides and it's like four different spots.
Mm-hmm.
And to also make this kind of transition clear, it's not 60 minutes, a 60 minutes performance shredded on 20 minutes to put everything in it. We left it with all its length, so it's basically mm-hmm. unedited what you hear,
mm-hmm.
but it has like four different points of views on the music we play, so we thought that the medium suits
yeah.
pretty well.
To stay with vinyl a bit more, Jason, you have been involved with various labels yourself in the past and also now. Your latest, one of the latest releases on your label, the new label, was released on vinyl. How do you, or all of you, see the changes in the music industry in recent years, and especially what will be the role of such formats as vinyl in little music scenes like improvised music?
Well, I mean, just from my point of view, I think especially really young people, like 20 and below, they don't buy CDs at all. They mm-hmm. will just buy MP3s, or they'll download. So CD is kind of, for many people, not interesting anymore. If they mm-hmm. want to spend money, then they want to have something to hold in their hand. So
yeah.
they would rather buy a vinyl. But for me, I don't want to create a fetish out of it. It's more like I wanted to do a vinyl release on my new label just because I enjoy the whole process of creating a vinyl release with the the record itself, and making a bigger cover and doing everything by hand.
Mm-hmm.
I just enjoy it more than making CDs.
Yeah.
And also I think in some ways I like how it sounds better for what I'm doing.
Mm. You already briefly mentioned this, but sort of crucial for your music is long duration, slowly evolving music with gradual shifts, etc. How does long duration for you translate to record, and how different it is for the music or approach to it when it is transferred on the stage, like it will be tonight in Kino Shishka?
I mean, I think it's two different things. I mean, a recording is one thing and a performance is another thing. And it's, mm-hmm. it's like talking about one, you can't really approach talking about another because it's two different experiences. Mm-hmm.
So. But you said before that basically on the record there are cuts from longer yeah. pieces. Do you listen to them now differently when they are cuts on the record?
No.
I
mean, I can only speak for me, but I basically do not listen to it at all. Mm. It was a long process of creation, of mixing it together, and it was nice. It was the first time I think I was involved in a project where every member of the band was equally contributing to the whole process of editing, mixing, mastering, and so on. Mm. But now it's done, and now the group sounds so different. And since record came out, we had quite a bunch of concerts with guest musicians. That changed a lot too. It's like, how can we fit them into our sound, and so on. And the live performance for me mostly is also depending on the surrounding, the environment. Mm. How does it look? How does it sound? How do people react? And so every moment, every place is very different.
Mm.
And that's what we try to try to find a way to deal with every place in a different way. Mm. Make something special for that place.
Yeah. Isn't it a bit absurd that, for example, in free improvised music is created collectively on the spot, but as you mentioned, a lot of times then the records are not produced together. Sometimes they are even released without most of the musicians knowing that it's out there.
Really? I never heard of that.
Really?
No.
I know a lot of.
If I'm playing on a record, I know it's out there. Yeah. Otherwise it doesn't get released. I mean,
I know quite some examples of that.
It's very strange.
Or at least then one person of the trio is involved with producing a record, mixing it, and others are not. That it's quite often.
I can understand that, because not everyone is technically capable of doing that work, or not everyone is interested in doing that work.
Mm.
We happen to be all interested in that. So.
Yeah, but I think it's also the other point, is like comparing having a band or this like one-shot meetings where we improvise with each other. Mm-hmm. There's nothing good or bad about either of both sides. It's just a different way of working together, and since we produced the music on the double LP together, it definitely had an impact on how we play, how we reflect music. So you have to put something into words to talk about what you're listening to. Mm. And so I say, oh wow, these two guys hear our music differently than I do.
Yeah.
And that changed my way of understanding or hearing it, and so since things got quite outspoken, we were ready to move on. I mean, maybe not in terms of quality, just in terms of strategies and how we would love to have the music.
It would probably also be a different story if we were like a seven-piece band.
Yeah.
Mm. But we aren't.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, but I think it's a good one. It's very transparent for us.
Yeah, you can't have seven people working on the mix. I mean,
no. Yeah, that's right.
But if we go to some of the name checking in the press release regarding your music, there is almost a seven-piece band with names like Ken, This Heat, Steve Reich, Sun Ra, even Phil Niblock is there mentioned.
But he's kind of a lonely guy. This Heat was trio, if I remember correctly. So it's really different, and that's what I said, that's what I like about it too. This Heat, as far as I have it in my memory, was rather a collective group.
I think Ken too.
Can too, yeah.
Pretty much a collective.
So that's really nice. And on the other hand, you have kind of the Sun Ra. Okay, that is difficult. Is it collective or is it a leaders group? It's both. So you find all different kind of aspects. I think it's not so much a about which way you take. It's more just you make the choice, and that's the direction you take, and you can reach all different kind of goals. So it's not so much about that.
I don't know if these names is the label's PR or your thoughts on music, but still I would like to ask you, in your opinion, what unites these artists, especially through your music?
Well, I think basically what is one part is that we that they were favorite bands of us when we were young. Mm-hmm. We're not maybe that young anymore.
I'm still young. Okay, I would like to point out that.
I'll talk for myself, but but I mean that was something which was I think which unites us in a way. It's they're all favorites of a long time ago, and it's not that in any way we try to imitate that or that, but I mean we never actually took out these names, but I think it was the label, right, who sort of came up with he discovered sort of this element in it and that element.
No, I wrote the text.
Oh, you wrote the text.
Yeah, right. But I wrote it more because I thought on the one hand there's some musical affinity to these groups, but there's also I feel like the spirit behind these groups approaches to what I feel is the spirit behind this project, which is kind of an openness and explorative aspect of the music. And yeah, that's what I was trying to get at. And I mean, the ironic thing is, you know, a lot of reviews would compare the group to the Next, and we didn't. I don't know the Next music at all. Actually, I never even heard any of their records, and I think I saw them once 15 years ago. So even when you write, you know, you do all this name checking, which I just did basically for the sake of lazy journalists. Come up with something else, so and they come up with something else which actually doesn't have anything to do with what we're
well, that's our job, you know, to come with a bit one extra.
There's a lot of similarity with the things. It's nobody like finds another wheel. The wheel was invented.
Yeah, exactly. That's another point. Yeah,
so
I mean, music
things
is
are there. It's really a matter of character, taste, and choice, and maybe circumstances. And you can find the elements our music is dealing with in, let's say, like 50% of the music you can find on the planet, even music we all never heard of, and that's the good thing about. So it's not so much about like creating a style or following a concept. It's more like when we three guys got together and play music, we found something, we enjoyed and have a good time, and that's kind of our small science lab, and there we work on.
You all have a lot of different projects, but sadly we won't be able to talk about them. We don't have time anymore, but so I would like to to end this interview with a more general question. You, Christian and Jason, were part of a wider circle of Swiss improvisers, guys like Thomas Corbett, Norbert Muslang, Günther Müller, and others with whom you have regularly played together, toured Japan, Korea, States, released a lot of records on 4/4 Iris label, for instance. Now it seems that the scene has quieted down a bit. Is this so, or is just not so visible to us outside of Switzerland, for example?
Well, I mean, if I dare to say so, a lot of the projects which you just mentioned, I was the one organizing them and finding gigs for them and producing the records. And when I stopped that, like the Timelines group, basically the group stopped because no one else picked up the ball and said, oh, let's keep doing it, let's keep looking for gigs. And this was kind of something which I got tired of, actually, was being the guy that always organized everything and mixed everything and recorded everything and put out the CDs. And I just felt like it was putting too much energy into things and not getting enough back. And I still play with Gunther and Norbert, I don't have any hard feelings or anything, but I just got to the point where I couldn't deal with it anymore. It's just too much work for me.
For the end.
So, and just to get that in, so then it's also for the trio, we work quite collectively. So everyone's involved also in organizing things and doing tech together. And we benefit a lot from that, actually. I have the feeling we do. It's like really supporting each other. But although it's like a trio again, and the small group can work rather efficient and quickly on certain things, that helps a lot.
Do you think this is a way how can an artist respond to the changes? Because now the name of the game in these days in Europe is crisis. There are cuts everywhere, also in the field of culture. Switzerland was always, at least here, considered as a state that has good support for the arts. Did that change in the last couple of years? And what are the challenges for the artists to respond to that?
It's a thing happening on quite different levels, I think. So there's, compared to other countries, there's still a lot of support for the arts in Switzerland, but the feeling I have is it gets more and more difficult, because if they ask something back, it has to be rather commercial and successful. That qualifies you as an artist, and that's an attitude that is like kind of 180 degree against what I believe or what I think consider myself being interesting or good art. And so there is money, but it's kind of sometimes you have to start to pay a high price for it, and that makes it not so easy. And this tour, for example, we're on, it's completely without support or funding. We just do it and or try to do it. And that's also good to be a little more independent, kind of.
Yeah, I mean, the way I grew up playing music in the States was we didn't have any help from the government. So I feel like when you, in response to your question, like what can musicians do today, I think for me in Europe, a lot of musicians are not used to helping themselves. There's a certain expectation that because they are artists, they should get money from the government. And I think it's great when the government gives money for culture, but I think the downside is people get too comfortable. And when it gets hard and times get tough, then they just walk away or they just complain, but they don't take it in their own hands and maybe organize their own festival or start their own label or, you know, just make things happen. I would like to see more of that, actually, as a form of kind of resistance to one thing which Christian said, this expectation that artists should somehow be like athletes and perform, be faster, be bigger. I mean, it's so ridiculous, you know, like art is not something you can quantify. And on the other hand, as a way of resisting these cuts in culture funding, you know, just say, okay, whatever, you want to cut our money, we're still here. We're still artists, you know, you can't make us stop.
Good. On that note, I would like to finish our interview. Thank you for coming.
Sure.
I wish you a great concert tonight.
Thank you very much.
Z nami v studiu je bil švicarski trio Tetras, ki nocoj ob 9. uri zvečer nastopajo v mali dvorani Kina Šiška. Poslušali ste intervju Radija Študent, ki sem ga pripravil Luka Zagoričnik.
Intervju Radija Študent.